I was going to sleep with a headache, waking up with a headache.
Extreme exhaustion, puffy face, congestion, confusion, tired, dizzy, nausea.
I'm coughing. My husband's blood pressure is still out of whack.
Sorry, this is my biolab voice, not my normal voice.
Every time I go back to town, I get sick.
The main theme was, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what I've been exposed to.
Since September, residents of Rockdale County have been asking questions their doctors can't fully answer. If you're new here, or if it's been a minute, here's where we've been so far. In the first two episodes, we walked through what happened the day of the biolab fire and dug into the company's long history of chemical fires. In episode three, we looked at the business of pool chemicals and biolab as one of the biggest chlorine producers in the country. In episode four, we uncovered some results from independent testing of the air, the soil, and water that's been done in the county. Now, in episode five, we're finally asking what effect the fire has had on the community's health. I'm Pamela Kirkland. This is Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. In the wake of the most recent fire at Biolab, people have been trying to understand what's happening to their bodies and why no one seems to be able to answer what might happen to the community's health long term. I'm not a doctor, but from reporting on this story, what I have noticed is that there are certain symptoms that come up again and again that people say didn't start until after the fire.
I've been having health issues. My blood pressure skyrocketed to 200 over 100.
My blood pressure has been very high since the biolab fire.
Like 250 over 140, sending me to the ER.
Headaches, high blood pressure, brain fog, respiratory issues. Hannah Lloyd has dealt with all of that and more.
I got on Facebook and I see biolabs on fire and I immediately thought, again?
She knows the drill. Hannah was born and raised in Rockdale County, so for her, fires at the plant weren't anything new. Her first thought is, let me run out to the store. She lives about 13 miles away from Biolab in Covington. She makes it a few miles from her house when...
I can smell it from the gas station and I have a pool.
And then she sees it.
And then I turn a corner and I see this huge chemical cloud, like basically in front of my face. It was smoky and red and orange and it was just the craziest color of anything that I've ever seen in my life. So I say, oh, well, maybe I need to hurry up and get home.
Hannah says she isn't sure what she's feeling. She tells her husband that she's not feeling well. He asks if she wants him to call 911. And at first, she says she thinks she's okay. But that changes quickly.
I couldn't breathe. I was basically felt like I was being gassed in a way. I felt really dizzy, confused. I couldn't speak. Like I could hear it in my brain. I was putting the words together, but I could not get them out of my mouth.
So they rush her to the hospital. And once she's in the emergency room, the doctor knew exactly what it was.
He said the bromine in that cloud, the orangish red color, is attaching to your mucous membranes and it's building up, causing it to feel like you're suffocating, but you're not really suffocating. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. I said, well, what if I wouldn't have gotten here? He said, well, you know, it would have just gotten progressively worse and you just would probably have just passed out.
Hannah was discharged that evening, but on her way out, she noticed that the ER was filling up fast.
There were people coming in back to back, breathing problems, people that were passing out while driving, people that were confused, people that didn't know where they were. And I said, oh, no, this is bad.
Doctors sent Hannah home with prescriptions for steroids, Benadryl, and breathing treatments. She hoped that that would be the end of it. But in the days after the fire, new symptoms started.
Let's see, extreme exhaustion, puffy face, congestion, confusion, tired, dizzy, nausea, GI issues.
So she started tracking everything in journals and eventually took her notes online to Facebook.
I was thinking about starting one anyways, just to kind of share my journey, share my story, because people are always asking, you know, about my health and stuff like that. And I kind of wanted to keep that a little separate from my regular page because I didn't want to like blow up everybody's feed just about health stuff.
Her page, Helping Our Health, has become an online hub for the community, a record of what residents have experienced and what they're still experiencing. Hannah was worried about her new symptoms, but what she really worried about was her daughter, Ellie.
My 3-year-old daughter came to me and said, "Mommy, please help me. I'm itchy." And sat on the floor, started spinning in circles, screaming a scream I've never heard in my life. And I knew right then that we had to get out of there.
Hannah says her doctors were blunt when she asked them what she should do. They told her that to feel better, she needed to get out of town and not come back.
They said, if you're having a reaction this quickly to a chemical makeup that we don't know what it is, and we don't know if we'll ever know what it is, you have to go.
Hannah had Crohn's disease that was already in remission, but now she had breathing issues and a small lump, a nodule on her lung that hadn't been there before. She was also diagnosed with something called RADS, or reactive airway disease, that she says was likely triggered by the bromine in the plume. Hannah and her family started spending weekends out of town in October, but by January, she had sold her house and was living in Panama City, Florida, about 5.5 hours away.
It's been hard. It's been very hard. Everyone says, "Oh, you're so lucky." No, I'm not. I'm blessed, but I'm not lucky because I didn't have a choice.
Now, near the beach, she says she and Ellie feel much better. But when she goes back to town, even within an hour of Rockdale County, she says her symptoms return. Since the fire, Cheryl Garcia's voice hasn't sounded the same, and she'll be the first to tell you.
Sorry, this is my biolab voice, not my normal voice, so I just want to tell you about that first.
You remember Cheryl, our occupational health expert and community activist from some of the earlier episodes. When we first met, Cheryl told me the fire had brought back asthma symptoms that she hadn't dealt with in at least a decade. And months later, her symptoms still weren't letting up.
I was still coughing tremendously. I mean, like really coughing hard. And that resulted in sore throats and just fatigue and headaches. But now that and it was embarrassing. I mean, when nowadays, since COVID, when you cough, everybody thinks you have COVID. So I've had to explain, like, no, this is chemical. This is from the fire. And, you know, you get a little tired of doing that. So, but at least the people that usually sit around us in church know now that I'm not physically sick. I'm not contagious, let's put it that way.
It was actually her husband's ear, nose, and throat doctor who finally put Cheryl on the path of getting some answers.
Well, I had a referral, actually, from a primary care doc back in November, but I never acted on it because I thought, oh, it'll get better. But I finally decided, no, go ahead and use the referral. And I'm happy I did, because once she did the scope and saw some nodules on my vocal cords and some spots of damage, she said, I can't say that these are burned, but there's clearly some damage to your vocal cords.
She was prescribed nasal sprays, asthma treatments, reflux pills, and gabapentin, a drug that's often used to treat nerve pain, as well as speech therapy sessions.
And they had me do some really weird things, like say for as long as I could, and zzz for, and I didn't hold it nearly as long as I guess they expected.
The goal, Cheryl tells me, was to reduce inflammation and rehab the damage to her vocal cords. It was a partial diagnosis, one that finally gave her some relief.
And now that the cough is getting better, I hope that my voice will improve as well. And then I guess the speech therapy will help too with my voice.
But for so many others, answers are harder to come by. We've now heard from residents who say they've dealt with a range of issues, respiratory issues, vocal cord damage, headaches, dizziness, and all reportedly since the most recent biolab fire. We've seen some preliminary test results from researchers. We've tracked symptoms, and we've heard how those symptoms have changed lives. Now, I wanted to talk to a medical expert, someone who could help me understand if the chemicals we know were released in a fire like this actually cause the symptoms people are describing.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
I'm sorry, the person you are trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet.
The mailbox is
Please
full and cannot accept any
later.
Messages at this
Goodbye.
Time. Goodbye.
Finding someone willing to weigh in isn't easy. To find a doctor who is willing to talk about an event like this and discuss the symptoms of people they're not actually treating is really hard. I wanted to speak with Hannah's doctor and Cheryl's doctor, or one of the doctors in Rockdale County who could talk about what they're seeing in their practice. Most of them never got back to me. So I turned to someone that I spoke to not long after the fire, Dr. Ziad Kazi, a medical toxicologist at Emory University and Grady Hospital. Just to be clear, Dr. Kazi is not treating any of the people you've heard from in this episode. But I wanted to know, could these kinds of symptoms be caused by exposure to the kinds of chemicals we've been talking about, like chlorine or cyanic acid, or Hannah's exposure to bromine?
Depends here on the type of bromine that they measured in the plume. But typically, a bromine is going to irritate in a similar way to chlorine. Similar to chlorine, you will have irritation of the mucous membranes, the eyes, nose, throat. It can maybe cause symptoms in the lungs like cough, chest pain, shortness of breath.
That could explain the respiratory issues, but when I asked Dr. Kazi about high blood pressure, one of the symptoms that I've heard most often, and one that residents say they understand the least, he said something that surprised me.
Now, regarding the hypertension, which is more of a chronic condition, people you're saying are complaining of right now, this is not related to these chemicals.
Not related to these chemicals.
This is not related to these chemicals.
I'll be honest. That was really disappointing to hear. But he did have an idea of what may be behind a symptom like hypertension.
Of course, the stress of the incident could explain people having elevated blood pressures as a normal reaction to the living through the incident, particularly during the event.
In short, some health issues people feel in their bodies could flow from the terror of living through that pink and brown cloud on the day of the fire, from trauma. Still, it's frustrating to hear Dr. Kazi say there's no easily demonstrated link between the chemicals we know and some health issues, at least not with the chemicals we know about so far. Part of the challenge, Dr. Kazi says, is that even the science we do have right now might not be enough.
We rely on the environmental samples that the EPA has produced. Also, we can look at other independent testing being done. However, we are sometimes concerned about the quality of these tests being done, the methods that they follow in sampling the environment.
Let's go through what the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency was actually testing for again. They monitored for chlorine, hydrogen chloride, phosgene, and volatile organic compounds. But as we heard in episode 4, researchers at Georgia Tech and independent testers like Scott Smith are looking for what they think the EPA may have missed. But without the cooperation of Biolab, they don't have a complete list of chemicals to look for. Biolab declined an interview for this series. When asked about concerns around long-term health effects, the company says that resource information is available from official channels, including Rockdale County and the EPA. A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the Biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. It was pretty naive to think that just 6 or 7 months after the fire, we'd have a clear answer to what happened to people's health and why. Part of my job as a journalist is asking questions you may never get full answers to. And it may be that we'll never know exactly what was in that chemical plume or what the impacts will be years down the line. For me, that's frustrating. But for the people who lived through the experience, Dr. Kazi says that uncertainty can be something even heavier.
That's a tough part of the recovery from such an incident. People certainly experience a significant amount of stress, and mental health effects are certainly an important consequence of living through an experience like the one that happened at the Biolab.
So after talking to Dr. Kazi, we still have unanswered questions. But another group is working in Conyers too, with questions which, in a lot of ways, no one has asked yet.
I want to update y'all on the things that we talked about at the last meeting. We investigated several legal avenues.
Hannah and Cheryl aren't the only ones dealing with health issues. It's a chilly February night at the Movement Church in Conyers. 2 months earlier, this place was packed with people filling the room. This time, only about a dozen showed up. 4 months had passed since the Biolab fire, and the people at this meeting want to know what happens next.
Tonight, I want to share with you our vital step forward in recovery, the launch of the Post-Fire Public Health Recovery Project.
That's Ifat Walker. She's the executive director of Community Action Now and the driving force behind a first-of-its-kind study designed to track the health impacts of the fire over time. She says the idea came from wanting answers to a pretty simple question.
I sat in and participated in all of the community discussions, both online and in person, and I read just about all the comments in the different Facebook groups in Rockdale County. And the main theme was, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what I've been exposed to.
There is no real way to answer that. Walker says that's because after the previous fires, no one really stuck around to look at any lingering effects in community health.
We looked for long-term studies for the previous fires. We didn't see any. We saw chemical testing results, which is very different.
Like Dr. Kazi from Emory said, they can explain breathing issues, but maybe not high blood pressure. But the high blood pressure and other effects have a cause too. Walker's new study is aimed at getting at that.
But we didn't see anything that measured the social, emotional, financial, as well as health impact. And we feel strongly that this has to be measured. It has to be documented. But apart from that, the community has to be a part of framing what this looks like.
This study is a partnership between Community Action Now and the Morehouse College School of Medicine, led by cardiovascular scientist Dr. James Washington. They're using something called community-based system dynamics, which he says is a health approach that centers lived experiences.
The great thing that we learned is, you know what, you really don't have to be a PhD to solve problems. If you're somebody that lives in it, you actually know more about it than me. So you're the expert, not the person that comes in, dun-dun-dun, we're going to help y'all. No, you're the expert.
In the first year, the team will focus on collecting survey data by knocking on doors and hosting forums to reach people in Rockdale, Newton, Gwinnett, Henry, Walton, and DeKalb counties. Researchers will track symptoms over the next several years for residents who opt into the study. Researchers will also look for first responders to see what's happening with the people who ran toward the flames, and especially those who didn't have the proper PPE.
We really want to hear more in the study from first responders. That part, and I mean, we're so grateful for our first responders. That fire could not have been, you know, battled without them. But we're concerned about them. We're concerned about their long-term health.
And they'll start by looking at local health trends. Here's Dr. Washington again.
Like, for example, anytime you have anything that's environmental, you might look at, well, you know what, are the asthma rates in this area higher than others? Allergies, admissions to hospitals for, I mean, all those kind of things are things that we would look at and see if there are any correlations.
The goal here is pretty clear. Take people at their word about their own health and document the harm for what will be the first time. Track it over time and look from the ground up for links to the fire to see how the community can better protect itself. Here's Efat Walker.
A group or a few people against a company. Okay. This has been a community concerned about their health and safety, and there has been one player that continually just doesn't follow the rules.
Because there's another layer to all of this. Who gets taken seriously when they say they're sick? Rockdale County is majority Black, and so are many of the people we've heard from in this series. Efat Walker has lived here for nearly two decades. She says it's not just about what happened the day of the fire, but also who would have been left behind.
We believe firmly that if the community did not respond in the way that it has responded this time, and the public outcry, if it had not taken place, I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be talking about this.
She says that's why this health study isn't just research. It's a way for the community to finally collect the kind of data that so many people have been asking for. At the Morehouse study launch, Sandra Stevens-Jordan sat quietly with her mother. She's been to the hospital more than once since the fire. She says for asthma attacks, a diagnosis of hydrocephalus, and headaches, she says never fully go away. But tonight, she showed up.
I want to be a part of everything that they're having because it's needed. It's our community, and everybody needs to be a part of it.
She was here with me at the big meeting in December and noticed the smaller crowd in February. She worried her neighbors have stopped paying attention.
Your life, 10 years down the way, 5-10 years down the way, it's too late. You got to do something now. You got to speak up and you got to stand up for yourself. It's your future. It's your life.
In the next episode, we go back to where it all began.
Yeah, we came here that Sunday and stayed all day, hoping that, oh, it's just a little fire. You know, the fire, we got a good fire department. It'll go out. How many days later? How many months later? Still the fume.
How residents are doing now. That's next time on Manufacturing Danger, the BioLab story. Manufacturing Danger, the BioLab story, is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. This podcast was written by me, Pamela Kirkland. Grant Blankenship is our senior editor. GPB's podcast team includes Sandy Malcolm, Jeremy Powell, Jake Cook, and Mark Davenport. For more, visit gpb.org/podcasts.